Well, good morning, Hillside, and good Friday to you. I hope you're doing well. I hope this, you know, time of quarantining isn't getting you too stir crazy. I can assure you right now, you can see the evidence that we are in quarantine time just by looking at the mop on my head that seems to only be growing more and more by the second. And I suppose that's literally true. Well, it is still one of the great days of the church here right now. We are in a time of, we are in Holy Week, and we are on, well, it's kind of a tie for my favorite day of the church here. Good Friday and Easter both are the days I look forward to more than anything else. And so I wanted to discuss today why it is we refer to this day as Good Friday. I wanted to talk about that a little bit. But first, let me go ahead and read a passage out of the book of Romans, probably familiar to many of you. Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. Listen to these amazing words. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. End of reading. Well, that passage is theologically chock full. It's one of the passages I think that Luther would say it should be sort of seen as the pinnacle of the scriptures for all that it describes. And part of what it describes is indeed what we're observing here on Good Friday. But what is the origin of actually the term or the title Good Friday? Where does that come from? I mean, have you ever thought about like why we decided on that title? I have, so I did a little research, and it turns out that Good Friday is not the sort of universal title for this. As a matter of fact, the Germans have historically called it Sorrowful Friday. That seems to make more sense to me. There's also Long Friday, as the Dutch call it. Again, that seems right to me. But Good Friday, I mean, after all, it is on this day that the world, the flesh, and the devil seem to have their heyday. I mean, God is arrested, falsely convicted, mocked, spat upon, and hit. His beard is plucked out, and he is whipped 39 times with shards of glass and rock on his back. He is crucified, nails driven into his hands and feet. He even is forsaken by his father. So why do we call this day Good Friday? Well, I suppose part of the reason we do, as our text in Romans showed us, is because in this day we do see the good justice of God. And what I mean here is, you know, if you look at the scriptures are very clear that God is perfectly, righteously just, and as such, must punish sin. The Bible is also clear that we are basically the opposite of perfectly righteous and therefore are under, as Romans says, the just condemnation of God for being sinners. As the passage says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And since none of us can make up for our falling short of the glory of God, the just thing to do is to penalize us sinners. I mean, the system makes sense, and the penalty is death. But on this day, Good Friday, God, instead of giving us the death that we all justly have earned, pours out his good justice upon his own Son. As Romans 3:26 explains, again, the cross happened to display his awful, majestic, but very good and perfect justice. That's why the song says at the end of each verse, sometimes it causes me to tremble. So there's a sense in which when we look at the cross, we do see some this goodness, this good justice of God being enacted. And by the way, it's not as if sometimes the way this is portrayed is it's sort of like the Father says, this is the punishment, and Son, you're going to take it. And the Son is like, okay, I guess I have to. No, that's not the way this worked. Like, the Son was in on it too. He wanted to do this to help, to make sure you and I avoided this punishment at all costs for our sins. So Luther can say this: the true contemplation of the cross is that in which the heart is crushed and conscience smitten. You must be overwhelmed by the wrath of God, who so hated sin that he spared not his only begotten Son. Who can the sinner expect? What can the sinner expect if the beloved Son was so afflicted? It must be an inexpressible and unendurable yearning that causes God's Son himself so to suffer. Ponder this and you will tremble. And the more you ponder, the deeper you will tremble. Take this to heart and doubt not that you and I are the ones who killed Christ. The whole value of the meditation of the suffering of Christ lies in this, that man should come to the knowledge of himself and sink and tremble. But we also call this day Good Friday because in it we see the good righteousness of our Savior. We must never forget that on the cross there is a perfect sinless offering, a spotless lamb, to use Old Testament language, being offered up to God. John proclaims he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hebrews says he was just like us in every way, but without sin. If he had even one sin, then no matter what death he goes through on that cross, it doesn't pay God's justice for anyone's sins. When Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist was perplexed. You might remember it. Why would someone perfect like Jesus have to go to him for a baptism of repentance? And so John tries pushing him away. No, you need to baptize me, Jesus. I don't want to be baptizing you. You're the perfect one. And Jesus responds to him with this explanation: let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus declares that he indeed has come to, quote, fulfill all righteousness. Yes, Jesus comes as the spotless lamb who takes away the sins of the world, and so we see in his goodness a good Friday. Romans 3 again. God redeemed us, bought us back through Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, an offering satisfying his wrath by his blood, to be received by faith. We call this day Good Friday because in it we see the good mercy of God to sinners. Verse 22, the righteousness of God is given to us by faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 24, we are justified before God by grace as a gift. Verse 26, he therefore can be the only one who justifies sinners mercifully. What does this all mean? Well, what this means is that on this day that we see both God's good wrath and Christ's good righteousness, we also see God's good mercy. The wrath and mercy of God meet. He maintains his justice by absorbing the punishment through Christ so that he can mercifully offer the sacrifice of Christ on the cross to us for free, simply by receiving it by faith. Thus, Jesus Christ pleads for you and for me, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in the end, when the debt has been paid and God's justice is satisfied, then and only then, Jesus proclaims to the world and to the heavens and to everywhere else, it is finished. Paid in full. Augustine expressed it this way, the great church father: man's maker was made man that he, ruler of the stars, might nurse at his mother's breast, that the bread might hunger, the fountain thirst, the light sleep, the way be tired on its journey, that truth might be accused of false witness, the teacher be beaten with whips, the foundation be suspended on wood, that strength might grow weak, that the healer might be wounded, that life might die. And he does it all out of great mercy for you and me, sinners in need of grace. Robert Coleman tells the story of a traveler who liked to look for unusual things anytime he would go to a new city he was visiting. During a tour of a town one day, he was attracted by a pretty remarkable spire over a public building. Turning to see it better, he noticed about two-thirds of the way up a stone figure of a lamb on the wall. The man stopped a passerby to ask if there was some significance to the lamb's stone replica. Soon he was told that it marked the place from which a workman lost his balance and fell while the building was under construction. The traveler inquired, was he killed? And the local resident said, no, it was actually a miracle. When his friends hurried down, expecting to find the mangled body of their friend on the pavement, there he was, shaken and badly bruised, but with hardly a bone broken. It just so happened that several lambs were on their way to slaughter, and as the mason fell, he landed on the back of one of them. The lamb was killed, of course, but his soft body broke the mason's fall and saved his life. The builder was so impressed with the miracle that he had the stone lamb placed there as a lasting tribute. Indeed, in your place, the Lamb of God was crushed. We call it Good Friday because the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world and the punishment for them. We call it Good Friday because on the cross, Christ was crushed for our iniquities. We call it Good Friday because on that cross, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. We call it Good Friday because on that cross, God shows his abundant love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We call it Good Friday because on that cross, we see that God so loved the world that indeed he did give his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, it is a Good Friday. Amen. Hillside, make sure to join us tonight for our Good Friday service starting at 7 p.m. You will not want to miss it, I promise you. It will be a very, very special service. We've got some just really wonderful things planned, and I can't wait for you to be blessed by what occurs tonight. So please make time in your schedule to join us on our Facebook page at 7 p.m. There will also be YouTube links sent out so that you can access it that way, but you won't want to miss this. Be there tonight, 7 p.m., and worship with us our good, good Savior on this Good Friday. All right, thank you so much. God bless you. Hope to see you soon.